Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Glad you have tuned in. Glad to be with you here. In studio, we have our very, very lovely Heather Thomas, who is the editor for Tallahassee Woman Magazine. She'll be with us as we hear part two of this feature, Women to Watch, and that's coming up shortly. Then, of course, our very well-known Bill Wulsifer, who will be our guest today, talking about copyright law. Bill is a Tallahassee Talks contributor, local attorney. So we've got lots lined up here for you this morning. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but...
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect.
Well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
He owns Capital City Collision Center, down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road. Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great, and they're great to work with.
Okay, Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202. So we are here on the first Saturday officially in September, and as we look fondly at the passing of summer, and it's a humid... scorching temperatures, aren't we glad that we're back into the beginnings of fall? Hopefully we can start to cool down a bit as football has captured some of our attention. Lots of other things going on around us that are of interest in this week, particularly in the, let's call it the cultural and arts part of our community. Nat Adderley Jr. is going to be in performance tonight and again tomorrow. Tonight he's at the Florida A&M University Lee Hall Auditorium, and then tomorrow he's at the Quincy Music Theater. For his part, Nat is a jazz cornet and trumpet player, a composer. Good to have him in town. Meanwhile, our friends over there at Florida State University provided us a thrilling win on their season opener with Mr. Winston doing his part in a 41-16 win over Pitt, and we hope for the very best going forward. Probably the most disturbing news this week came by way of the story out of Marianna, and that referring to the Dozier School over there and the investigation that continues. University of Florida researchers are there uncovering evidence of what seems to be a very shameful, dark part of Marianna's history that none of us care to think about. But folks, there's a truth there that is being literally uncovered, and it will be with us for decades, I assure you. What else in the week? Oh, well, of course, our friends over there at Bass Pro Shop opened up earlier, and along with this part two that we want to bring you now, Heather Thomas, editor of Tallahassee Woman Magazine, had the pleasure of interviewing Betsy Couch. We had so much to offer you, we wanted to bring it to you this week as we present Women to Watch Part 2 with Heather Thomas. Heather?
Thanks, Brian. I'm here with Betsy Couch, Tallahassee Woman's August-September cover woman, and Tallahassee Talks, A Woman to Watch. And we've all been watching you, Miss Betsy. Betsy is married to Corey Couch and is mom to Caroline and Tucker, with Caroline just starting kindergarten this year. Betsy is an adjunct professor in FSU's College of Communication and Information and is a board member of multiple boards affiliated with Children and Families. Most notably in regards to the current community building boom is that she is co-chair of the Cultivate Cascades Group, which is helping to build Discovery at Cascades Park in downtown Tallahassee. So why do you think Gen X is taking such a lead in this present climate?
That's a great question, and I think it's the natural evolution. Baby boomers have paved the way for our volunteer efforts, and many baby boomers are community leaders today, and they're still actively involved. But we're also seeing that our generation be at a point in our careers where we can give more time back to our community, where we're also paying more attention to what's going on around us, and we're really actively getting involved. And I think there are two strong groups that are working and doing great work pulling together all the generations. One is Imagine Tallahassee. We've heard a lot about what they're doing. They have gone above and beyond in their outreach efforts to try to really get diverse audiences engaged in all different age groups. And then on the other end, there's KCCI from the Knight Foundation. They have for the last 5 years been really working to get groups to come together as their community catalyst, and they have been volunteers who have put plans into place. That's where we saw Get Gaines going. We saw the Tallahassee Film Festival evolve from that, and most recently we've seen Discovery at Cascades Park start to build up from those volunteer efforts.
So what is currently going on with Cascades Park? Can you give us a little update as to the discovery aspect and maybe describe what's going on there and when we'll be likely to be able to use some of the things that are
Cascades Park is an evolving project. It started back in 2000 with the Blueprint 2000 group, and they successfully had a penny sales tax pass, which was able to raise infrastructure funds to build and make this stormwater facility become a world-class park. We hope to see it open. I don't know the exact date, but maybe the end of this year, early next year. And Discovery within Cascades Park, that will be an interactive play area. So an area where kids of all ages can get out and explore what's around them, where it's not your typical playground, it's an interactive learning environment.
Exactly. And one of the things that distinguishes Gen X from the other generations is their passion and focus on family. And you seem to wear many hats well. You're a wife, mother, teacher, community leader, and children and families advocate. So from one mom to another, how do you balance it all?
Well, they're all important roles. And I think your happiness in each role helps contribute to how successful you are in all the other roles. And I'm just thankful to be able to volunteer and give back to the community and get engaged in areas that I'm very passionate about. And then also be an example to my children and show them how they can volunteer even at a young age, whether it's collecting food for Second Harvest or backpacks for school children. There are just so many ways that you can give back to your community, no matter what your age group.
I think your passion for the community and for volunteerism is what really stands out to me and to a lot of people who know you. Where does this passion come from, and where are you now currently directing it?
Well, I'm currently directing it towards improving the lives of children and families. That's always been something close to my heart, and also from my family. You know, it started as a young child. My mother really instilled in us the importance of giving back and being thankful for what we have, and that has just resonated with me my whole life, in high school and college, and here we are today.
What do you feel that people need to know about in regards to Tallahassee but perhaps don't?
I think something that people don't often realize is how open our government is and how accessible they are. You may have an idea, and don't just let it stop with your idea. Reach out to one of your elected officials, and don't just email them. Schedule an appointment, call their office, and go sit down with them and talk to them about your idea. They are very open to listening, but they're also very open in the two-way communication and letting you know what potential challenges may be ahead or why they may be able to implement your idea or why not. But I think I know they always enjoy hearing from their citizens, because that's who they are elected to serve, and they all are passionate about our community.
And that actually leads me to my final question. What words of advice or inspiration can you give to listeners who want to get involved, who want to volunteer? How would you recommend that they go about doing that?
There are a variety of ways. Tallahassee is a community of engagement. I think that's one thing that makes our community one of the best places to live in this country. And whether you have an hour to give a week or 10 hours to give a week, there is something for you. A couple that come to mind immediately is with the Children's Home Society of North Florida. You can go on their website or call their volunteer number, and no matter how much time you have, they can find a place for you to volunteer, and they do so many great things in this community. And then also on the other end of the spectrum with government, Leon County currently has a citizens engagement series. So you can go to their website, leoncountyflorida.gov, and there are a variety of ways that you can get involved there as well.
Thank you so much, Betsy. And that concludes our Women to Watch segment. I'm Heather Thomas, editor of Tallahassee Woman Magazine, and thank you so much for listening.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. It comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. We have in studio our very good friend, a lovely individual who local attorney Bill Wolsifer and Tallahassee Talks contributor. Bill, how are you?
I'm fine, Brian. Thank you.
We're glad that you have been able to peel yourself away from the fray of the day-to-day doings of your firm. And I know you guys stay pretty busy over there. Folks, you may know, too, that Bill has agreed to serve our purposes in contributing on a continuing basis with Freely Speaking. And so we had that debuting for you here a couple of weeks ago, and he's back again, although on this occasion we decided to go a little further than just keeping him within the confines of that feature. So we've got you for the next several minutes through this hour, and we'll want to try to get into a couple of different topics, all of which for me seem related, and I'll put this under the heading of maybe I should say business law, but it certainly could apply to an individual as well. Whenever we're talking about copyright, particularly the copyright of photos that you use on a website, I mean, that could be a person, that could be a company that's a web developer that's grabbed some photos for your website, and in fact, those are copyrighted, and guess what? You got yourself in some hot water there. So we're going to ask you about that. And then I noticed, too, that you're published. You are just all over the place here. The Florida Bar Journal has him published in the September-October issue with co-author Tyler Thomas with an article entitled Certifying Documents, and that's said in quotation marks, Certifying Documents Via Third-Party Software. And we're going to get into understanding what that means. That's another topic in and of itself. But the question is, are these documents that have been certified, let's say, or created by this third-party solution, are they binding on the court? In other words, can the court then see those recreated documents that have come via this digital format as binding, as admissible, we might say, right?
That's right.
Is that a layman's expression there? Am I on target?
I would say that's layman and lawyerly.
Okay. Well, see, there you go. I'm not an attorney, but I have you on the show, so that helps, doesn't it? So let's get into this business of copyrighted photos. That's got to be a big deal, because golly, everybody is throwing photos all over the place.
Yeah, a lot of persons are finding themselves recipients of a cease and desist letter from the photo owner, at least a claimed owner. And you receive this letter, and now what? I thought I could use it.
Mm-hmm. And then in that situation, are people that, in general, do you think, are we that naive that we think that, well, everything's free, and so it doesn't matter where it came from? Do you see a lot of this kind of thing happening, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Brian. I think there is a lot of naivete, because good, honest people get caught up in it. So there's no intentional infringement in many cases.
Right.
But there's also no, really no excuse. Copyright is a strict liability. If someone owns that image and you don't have a valid reason to use it, a valid defense, a valid claim under the law, or permission, you may have a liability.
Well, how do you know, in fact, if a photo is copyrighted, if it's not stated? I mean, those that are in the business of selling their photos, let's say like Getty Images or somebody like that, I mean, they're going to watermark their stuff, so you know that. But what if it's something that, in fact, does belong, and it's you're getting it, you know, a thousand generations passed along? I mean, does it at some point, does it become sort of public domain? I mean,
it becomes public domain by operation of time, not by habitual use.
I see.
And I don't believe all Getty Images are watermarked. So you can obtain a Getty image, and some folks will crop out the caption below where the copyright ownership claim is there.
Right.
And it may not even be the user, the end user, let's say the person who receives that cease and desist, who did that, but they picked it up after other persons used the same image.
Okay.
You know, there's something called innocent infringement, but that's not really it.
Okay.
And the copyright notice does not need to be there. If it's not yours, you're on notice that it may be someone else's.
Okay.
It may not be available for your use.
So how do I make that determination? I mean, where do I go to say, hey, I got this photo off of my brother-in-law's Facebook page. How do I know if it's, in fact, a real property or, intellectual property that belongs to somebody else?
Right. Well, due diligence. I mean, first of all, common sense. If you got it from someone's Facebook page, go to that person. I mean, ultimately, you want to seek permission or pay a license.
Yeah.
Permission is commonly granted.
Right.
Photographers want their work out there.
Right.
Some folks, all they'd like to see is a credit, you know, a mention of the source of that original work. And license can be bought very cheap, a dollar, $2, $15.
Yeah.
We have an image we use, we paid, I think, $15 for, and we use it repeatedly.
Right.
But there's comfort in that.
Yeah. Does this spill over into the use of personal photos? So I've taken pictures of my brother's birthday party, and I post them on my page, and all of a sudden, they're all over the web.
Yeah.
Do I have any sort of recourse there, or is it really buyer beware sort of feeling? I was dumb enough to put it up there. It's the Wiener situation,
right?
Anthony Wiener, come on, man, what are you doing? So,
indeed, the interesting thing about copyright is it's always a gray area. There's subjective.
Yeah.
First is a subjective perspective of the person whose image is there. If they're okay with it, and a photographer is okay with it, it's not going to be called into question.
Right.
If it is, then there's a question that the courts are split on. You can have a copyright issue, just about any copyright issue.
Right.
You can present evidence on both sides and reasonably expect two different results.
Sure.
Because it's fact-based.
Well, I mean, we're in the business here of producing TV and radio commercials, right?
Right.
And when we include anybody in that video, if it's a passerby, we have a release form they have to sign if we're going to put that product out there and their image is in that frame, right?
Right.
So does that apply if I've taken pictures at a party and I put that up there and somebody's wife is in that photo and the husband wants to sue me for defamation of character. Maybe I caught her at a rather unflattering moment,
right,
or something. I don't know.
Right. Now, good question. And it goes into a different area of defamation, invasion of privacy, maybe casting that person in a false light,
right,
or intrusion upon seclusion. This person's now, it's always fact-based. How many people are at the party? Is there a reasonable expectation of privacy? Is this person walking down the street, or is this a party in their living room,
right,
where they don't expect their living room to be exposed?
Right.
And
right,
maybe you're showing things that they don't want seen by the public.
Right.
Very, very specific. You may not find it. I mean, intellectual property always imposes a duty on the owner to police the industry.
Okay.
And so that's...
Just so that you know, folks, we're getting into this business of copyrighted images. We've got William Mulciver here that we love to talk to about all kinds of topics. And in this case, copyright is a big deal. And because all of us are more and more involved in producing our own online product, aren't we? I mean, websites and Facebook pages and Instagram. Stay with us, folks. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got his card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202.
And we're back with Bill Wolsifer talking about copyright law and how that impacts you and I, even us humble citizenry who take it upon ourselves to use a copyrighted image on our website. We may be innocent in our intention and perhaps naive or even ignorant of the fact that it's copyrighted material. Don't make no difference, does it, Bill?
No. No, it doesn't. Strict liability.
You got to know what you're doing.
Right.
And if you don't know who the owner is, you better find out, and you better make sure you have permission, especially if it happens to go viral, as was the case in this rather famous Techno Viking video. I don't know if you know about this. Carl was telling me earlier, Techno Viking video occurred back in 2000, year 2000. And in fact, it was spontaneous. You know, there was this guy in Germany that was in a parade, and he was this sort of Viking looking and medieval looking Scandinavian kind of guy. It was just very interesting to watch him dancing down this street in this parade. And you know, the guy made a video of it, so he took the video, and the video became immensely famous on the internet. And the guy started making money off of this by merchandising the image of this Scandinavian-looking guy. Well, so years later, he sued and said, look, you're making money off of my face and off of this video. I'm entitled. Well, the proceedings went on until finally here, only recently, they ruled in his favor. A Berlin court finally delivered its verdict and said, yeah, the guy is due his piece of the action. And so that can happen, I suppose, if in fact you're out there at a 4th of July event and some little kid is dressed up in a cartoon character and you're getting his face, and now it happens to get some traction. You better know what you're doing, huh?
Ryan, that reminds me of what you referenced earlier about how do we find these images being repeated after they're posted.
Right.
If they happen to generate revenue, you'll have no problem finding them.
They're going to find you.
They'll find you and the people that are in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll raise the issue.
Well, and so it's advisable then, if we're going to pursue such things, that we might want to have some kind of an understanding with those who are in the video or in that photo, even audio recording. Over the years that I've been involved in media and broadcasting, we do street interviews, you know, where you've got a handheld microphone. Now, my understanding was at the time, and this goes back, 10, 15 years ago, if I'm out interviewing you on the street in public and someone happens to pass by and we can hear their voice in the recording, I don't need to obtain their permission because we're out in a public place where such a thing might occur. So it's in that case, it kind of falls back on the passerby, who has to be aware of the fact that if you're out here in public and you're saying something that's you're within earshot of others, that's on you.
Right.
But if I'm in somebody's office behind closed doors and I'm recording you without your permission, that's a violation.
Much difference. As mentioned, there's the test. There is a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the office. Which office? If that's a doctor's office, I like these rules that ask people not to stand too close to the reception desk because you don't want to hear this private information that's being discussed with the receptionist.
Yeah. Interesting.
But getting a release is always your best bet. That for that street interview, you may even want a location release if you're filming someone's building in the background or a vehicle.
Right.
If you can get a release, you're always better off.
Yeah.
We advise, for instance, I'm using musicians as an easy example. We don't need a release. He's our friend. Everything's fine.
Uh-huh.
But if this happens to generate a good revenue stream, then that person is going to want to share in that revenue.
Yep.
And you will wish you have taken that release.
You know, it reminds me some years ago, my kids were into comic books and such, and we were over at this comic book shop here in town. And I wasn't big into comic books, but I was there for them. And so I'm kind of walking around and trying to entertain myself with looking at different things on the shelves, and they're over there finding the comic books they're looking for. And I happen to see this one laying out on a table. And here is a photo of Amy Grant on the cover of this comic book, but dressed up, obviously been altered. But it was her face placed inside of this character on the cover of the comic book. And I thought, well, that's an unusual use of her image. I'm wondering if, in fact, her publicist knows about this, because that's not really her image. And I want to tell you that the photo of her face inside of this character presented her in a manner that was not typical of her image at that time, okay?
Right.
So I called how did I do that? I guess I called the publisher I called her publicist, and they had no idea that this had happened. So you got to be aware of the fact that other people are watching too, right?
Right. That raises some other issues where copyright and trademark may both apply, and where fair use may apply. Because when you mention they changed her image, you get what we call a parody.
Uh-huh.
And you apply that discretionary fact-based review. Is it changed so much as to not be an infringement? Is it a caricature? Is it confusing? If it was a trademark, as some images are, the test is there confusion to the public as to the source of the goods or services that image represents?
I got you.
So when you alter it, you may be able to do that. Same thing with images on a website. You may not want to alter the picture because it won't be the same, but if you take a sliver of it, that might be fair use.
I see.
Even though it was copyright protected. Fair use is actually the right to infringe over something that's protected.
Interesting. Yeah. Folks, we have to say here that so much of this has come about because of the innovation of and the contribution of the internet and digital formats. And I mean, we're now engaged in practices that 20 years ago were beyond reach. I mean,
everybody's a publisher.
Everybody's a publisher now. Right. So you have to find yourself taking the same sort of precautions. And that includes how it is that the court views those documents presented as evidence that, in fact, are printed copies of digital images. So we're going to get into that as we get back from our break. Folks, you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. And don't forget, by the way, for your purposes, we keep a digital copy of all of our shows handy on our website. If you want to listen to the broadcast at any time at your convenience or share it with a friend, TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. And you can go to the archive there and listen to this show along with all of the programs that we've made available to you in our three-year history. We're happy to be a part of what's going on around town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
So we're talking with William R. Wolsifer, who is a commercial litigation attorney here in Tallahassee with the law firm of William Wolsifer, PA. Practices both Florida and in Washington, D.C., with an emphasis on copyright and trademark infringement, which has occupied our conversation here in this hour. William, Mr. Bill, I am grateful for your contribution to the show, and I know our listeners appreciate it. It's got to be frustrating for you because there's so much depth to this whole business of copyright law, copyright infringement, and we're really just kind of skating along the surface here. But our hope is this will encourage people to contact you directly or at the very least start Googling some of these topics and get aware of what's going on. Is that right?
Absolutely. Google away. There's plenty of information out there. There's plenty of resources of copyright-free images.
Yeah.
There's something called creative content where the photographer gives a license.
Right.
Because they want to share what they have.
Right.
There's many. There's a list you can find on Google. I forget who published it, of 10 sources. It's a good list. It has the links.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of opportunity to use material that is not protected. And there's plenty of low-cost, affordable images out there to purchase. Huh. And, you know, if you don't want to spend $10 or $15, you could be looking at a $2,500, $5,000, $20,000 lawsuit or a legal fee to defend it.
Hmm.
Of course, when the person, the alleged infringer, gets the notice, it will almost always say that damages are up to $150,000 because that's the statutory cap.
Yeah, yeah. Nonetheless, why would you even want to entertain the possibility of that kind of complication if you can simply pay the $15
right,
and or at least do some discovery? Go about the business of trying to figure out who owns this image. If you personally didn't take the picture or you don't know who it was that took that picture, what about music and even text? If it's copyrighted prose, something maybe excerpted from a book or something of that nature, we're still subject to the same kinds of questions,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. You can't use it. I hope what comes out of this conversation for your listeners is that if it's not yours, you probably don't have a right to use it.
Yeah.
And now it's your duty to do a little investigating.
Do your due diligence.
Absolutely.
You know, we talked a little bit before the break about how this has come about for all of us, and you made the comment, we're all in the publishing business now, and that certainly has a lot of truth in that, substantively, because we're subject to the same laws that a publisher would be subject to, that might be considered large scale. Here we are putting out a blog, or we've talked about social media, a YouTube or a Facebook posting. but it is because of the technologies that we have access to, and that includes what goes on in the courtroom. So we had this topic we mentioned earlier, whether in fact those printed documents that have been created by having access to a digital copy of the original image. I mean that's a complicated way of saying it. But basically, let's say I have evidence that is the original that by all other tests would be admissible in the court. Court would say, yeah, that's evidence. But I take that original document and I scan it and I save it using some third-party software.
Right.
Now I want to go to court and I'm going to print out from that digital image the copy of that original document. And the question remains, is that admissible? Does the court look at that and go, well, that's not the original document?
Right. With an added level, you're referring to that, the subject matter of that that article, that third-party software authenticates that what you just reproduced is a mirror image of what you had scanned and purposely destroyed. And then the question on that article is that binding on the court? And it's a good article. You got to read it to find out.
Well, how is that different? And I mean, is this the point that we are, when we're, let's say, signing a contract, the original document that we signed?
Right.
And I know a lot of people avoid signing documents in black ink because it can be reproduced so easily. So they'll sign it with blue ink in order to make sure that is the original, right?
Well, that used to be, Brian. Now you can reproduce that blue just as well.
Okay. Another urban myth.
Reproduced blue looks like the original blue. But the court wants what's called the best evidence, or something referred to as the best evidence rule in this state and probably in every state. They want the best evidence. And how do you know it's the best evidence? You have to bring in someone who's familiar with that original document.
Okay.
Typically referred to as either the records custodian or the author, or maybe the photographer. Did you take this picture? If so, when? Did you, et cetera. So to authenticate, you lay a proper predicate authenticating that as an original.
Okay.
So the question comes up, can we use technology to replace that records custodian?
Okay.
Can we replace that with the technician?
And so then I'm hearing you say, by implication, you better keep the original on hand. Don't go around destroying original documents. And yet, how many, I know businesses that have gone into the practice of shredding originals because they've got all their files backed up on disk, right? Or some digital hard drive. That might work when it comes down to, you know, something that would be less significant. But, man, if it's a contract or...
if you need to prove that original, and if you're in litigation, and maybe competent counsel on the other side that does not want your reproduced scanned copy coming in. So it's good practice to keep it when you can.
At least for now, until the court makes a ruling on whether or not.
And the courts have ruled. So here's the fun of the law.
Okay.
You need to know the jurisdiction you're in. Some are requiring a more strict approach.
Yeah.
And some are moving towards technology and they trust the reproduction.
Yeah.
Florida has a law by statute where government entities can introduce without the same predicate the reproduced scanned document.
Okay.
And that's by statute.
Okay.
So it depends on your jurisdiction. Certainly the move is towards allowing.
Okay. Folks, you can see why we bring Bill in here occasionally just to keep us abreast of this stuff, because by goodness, if you're not consulting your attorney on these matters, maybe you ought to. And certainly we're in the position of trying to simply relay good information. And Bill, you're so kind to help us all kind of figure this stuff out.
It's my pleasure to be here, Brian.
We're glad you made it possible for us to have the conversation. Folks, Bill Walsifer, who is a Tallahassee Talks contributor, local attorney, and a good friend. We're glad to have you here. And folks, I hope you've gotten as much out of it as I have. I know I'm going to have to schedule an appointment after this is over and sit down so I can go through all of these questions I have. Maybe you ought to do the same. We're glad that you've made it a part of your morning as well. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is here every Saturday, 93.3. FM, Tallahassee's talk station, Freedom 93, affectionately known, and we're glad to be a part of that whole mix. and bringing you what Tallahassee is talking about. That's what we're about. That's why we're in this business, and we hope that you'll stay tuned as we continue in our morning with the Deep South Outdoor Review. Chuck Simpson is standing by, and he's going to bring us up to date on what's going on in the whole outdoor arena with the Deep South that we love so much. Folks, if you didn't get a chance to do so, email us. Let us know your thoughts about the show. You can always go to topics@TallahasseeTalks.com if you have a guest or a topic you'd like to have us consider, or if you have a question. You can find us on Facebook, of course. We'll be looking for you there, too, for your comments and suggestions. Always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for making us a part of your morning. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.